Kia ora and welcome to PhytoMed's Herb Talk podcast. I'm Charlene Bennett, a qualified and registered naturopath medical herbalist at PhytoMed Medicinal Herbs. With an interest in research and phytotherapy, I am joined today by Phil Rasmussen, PhytoMed's founder and qualified pharmacist and medical herbalist. PhytoMed's roots are embedded in traditional and clinical phytotherapy, combined with the latest research to produce premium herbal medicines made right here in New Zealand. Here at Herb Talk, we offer innovative insights and research on a wide range of phytomedicines, with a particular focus on New Zealand native herbs and their application in clinical practice for naturopaths, medical herbalists, and natural health practitioners. For more information, visit us, phytomed.co.nz. In today's podcast, Phil and I are discussing long COVID. An increasing number of post-viral and complicated recovery times are currently being experienced in both the natural and medicinal health field. Our podcast topic today is one most of you will absolutely relate to, either knowing someone or treating someone that is experiencing the long recovery from being unwell. We will be covering all the most frequently asked herbal questions and additional information needed to help client and in-client situations to recover well. So stay tuned to learn more about the post-COVID viral recovery and how do we best prescribe and, most importantly, help those in need and the recovery outcomes. Welcome, Phil.
Welcome. Thank you.
And today's topic is on the long COVID. We've got an interesting little discussion ahead, I'm sure, for all our podcast listeners tuning in. What are your first thoughts here? How much of this have you been seeing around yourself in clinic? I know I'm opening up a huge discussion here for today, but I'm sure there's a lot of interest in today's topic.
Yep, there certainly is. Hard a day seems to go by at the moment without reading an article on it. There was an article in the New Zealand Doctor that a colleague told me about at the weekend, something in this morning's New Zealand Herald. And, of course, us naturopaths and herbalists have been knowing about it, thinking about it, worrying about it, I guess, for a year or more now. But now it's really starting to roll out. But personally, I haven't seen that many cases, to be quite honest, as yet. But I do think that within another 2 or 3 months we will really get a better idea as to just how serious this is here in Aotearoa. But certainly it is on the increase, and you know, it really depends to a degree on how you define long COVID, doesn't it? But taking the usual definition of symptoms post-COVID-19 or SARS-2 infection after 12 weeks of the initial infection, which is the usual definition, the estimates are that about 10 to 30% of people who are infected with COVID will actually get this. And of course, you know, Māori and Pacifica in our country are more vulnerable. People who have been hospitalised, who had it quite seriously the first time round, are more vulnerable to long COVID. People have had it more than once. And of course, we're seeing a growing number of people who have had both Delta and Omicron, or even two variants of Omicron now in Australia, in Europe and North America. They seem to be more likely to develop so-called long COVID as well. And there's a recent paper in North America where, of course, they're ahead of us in terms of when it really infected a big percentage of the population, and they're a bigger country. So they're estimating that 7.5% of people who develop COVID are actually living with long COVID syndrome right now, post-COVID symptoms. So I think we're going to see a lot of this in the future. It could be at least as debilitating, not only on the patients themselves, but also pharmacoeconomically on the healthcare system, as COVID itself, and it may well be one contributing factor to the current fact that here in Aotearoa, the mainstream health service is almost bursting at the seams in many areas because of the big winter, because of a lot of people getting COVID. 30 to 50,000 Kiwis every week are getting COVID at the moment. So if you take 10% of that even, you know, you're talking 3 to 3,000 people a week developing long COVID. So it could be really, really big, this. But it is too early to really try and be too definitive about how long it's going to go on for and how serious it will be for most people.
Some of these numbers are scary, aren't they? Like, it's concerning, isn't it? We, like you've just said, Phil, the prevalence is going to be growing, isn't it? It's an increasing thing that we're all going to see.
Absolutely, yep.
What post-viral herbs are we predominantly looking at here? In your opinion, for help and fatigue, the exhaustion, the classical signs and symptoms of post-viral infection. Post-viral infection is not new, is it?
No. I mean, since the cows came home, herbalists and naturopaths have been dealing with post-viral fatigue or chronic fatigue and something that of course, 30, 40 years ago was denied by mainstream medicine has even been a syndrome.
Yes.
But of course, we know that it always has been. And this one, I think, early on has been acknowledged, which is good. So, I mean, there's a lot of herbs we can use, luckily. And in fact, again, it's another area like mental unwellness, like stress, where herbal medicine is going to continue to go from strength to strength, I believe, because of the deficit in what mainstream healthcare can offer for these types of serious conditions. Because it is largely autoimmune in nature. I mean, long COVID does obviously vary from individual to individual. The most common symptoms tend to be fatigue and headaches and cognitive deficits, particularly attention deficit type things, you know, forgetting where you put your car keys, and just brain fog and lethargy. So with all those things together, I'm sure most people are thinking already, and if you didn't know, that adaptogens are pretty unique, as we've been talking about in recent podcasts. And we have some wonderful adaptogens for the management of long COVID. Pretty well most adaptogens, I think, can be useful. One of my favourites is American ginseng, but even withania. Withania, if people are really quite stressed and not sleeping and their whole cortisol level system, you know, their adrenals are just really out of whack, then withania is a good one. And like many of our phytomedicines, it's also anti-COVID and in vitro. You know, we know now that it does have some direct antiviral properties as well as all those amazing other properties. So because fatigue is such a major, you know, we do use herbs like American ginseng, astragalus, and ginsengs, as I say, not just Panax cucafolium, but Panax ginseng. And then, of course, you get into things like andrographis, which is also an adaptogen, and maybe even kawakawa, which I think has mild adaptogenic properties. So, but one of my favourites that I'm kind of using on patients at the moment, and I'm learning as I go, like a lot of us, to be honest, is black seed, Nigella sativa, because Nigella is a bit like propolis. There's been some good clinical trials now on COVID patients where it shortened the hospitalisation time, it shortened the recovery time. And, of course, it is a really good immune modulator. Helps in diabetic patients, and men in particular seem quite likely to develop diabetic symptoms with long COVID. That's one of the organs that's affected, particularly the kidneys. It's not just the heart and the liver, but the kidneys can be affected. You know, women tend to get more stress and depression with long COVID. Men tend to get more cardiovascular and neurological things and diabetes. So Nigella, that broad spectrum of action of being adaptogenic, antiviral, as I said, and really good for immune conditions, particularly diabetes and cardiovascular. It's not well known that it also is cardioprotective. So, but you do need to use quite a big dose of Nigella. And another good thing about it is that people eat it as a food. You know, a lot of the Asian population here in the Aotearoa, like everywhere else in the world, they put it on their food. And use it in their cooking by the handful, not just a
they're enjoying it, aren't they? They're not just using it medicinally. It's a kind of a multifactorial experience for them. Yeah. They're enjoying it. They're eating it. They're also getting the benefits of it therapeutically as well.
Yep. Food is the best medicine, isn't it, really?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the fundamental, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just touching on what you said about the brain fog is – you know, we're beginning to see different research on that, and it's saying that, you know, that's because of the virus crossing the blood-brain barrier. Is there anything there that you can, that herbs that come up that are going to be especially beneficial in that area that...
Yeah, I think ginkgo is probably the best one. As people who know me well probably know, I really love ginkgo when it's used properly, particularly New Zealand-grown ginkgo. And ginkgo, again, it's organ protective. It's not just cognition enhancing if you take enough of it or take it long enough. It is organ protective. It's hepatoprotective. It's renal protective. It's cognition protective. You know, it's neuroprotective. It looks after those nerve cells, which I think because of that interrelationship that nerve cells have with immune modulators, you know, with cytokines and leukotrienes and all the rest of it, you know, that we're still just only beginning to understand that complex interrelationship that they have with each other within all different parts of our body. The nervous system in particular is often quite debilitated with long COVID, you know, hence fatigue, hence sometimes depression and memory loss and often headaches as well. So, but yeah, ginkgo is my favourite. As to, you know, others, there are a whole lot of others. I mean, we have, again, our ginsengs, our Panax species. Polygonum can also be useful. Even ginger, you know, I like ginger and I like black pepper and And again, maybe even Kawakawa has some actions here. There's a lot that we can use for that. But I guess with the medicinal mushrooms, lion's mane is one of the best when it comes to neuroprotective, as is reishi. Reishi is a really good adaptogen and neuroprotective and energy enhancing herb with a real broad spectrum of action, which is kind of what we need here rather than getting too specific early on. I think it's something with an antiviral action, like to reduce the viral load, like Nigella, but also adaptogenic and also neuroprotective and immune modulatory, the sort of herbs you use for autoimmune diseases. So another one in that area in particular that's had a lot of attention and, you know, it's been selling very well since COVID came out is Bicalc Skullcap, Scutellaria biocalensis, because again, it's got a huge range of array of actions, particularly immune modulatory, and that makes it highly relevant for this condition, I think.
I know that we've already discussed this today, Phil, but for everyone listening today, I'm sure this is of interest again. What are these telltale signs we see in clinic you're talking about? That the men often, the cardiovascular events, obviously we don't get any red flags for that until it's happened. But woman neuroprotection, obviously sometimes that's a bit easier, right? Cognition deficits can be seen a little bit earlier in some regards, like memory loss or brain fog, all of those things. So some of it's very obvious, but what about those really complicated cases? What else could we look for that isn't always most obvious telltale signs, but you've found or you've heard of being related to this long COVID recovery or post-viral recovery?
I think, you know, one of the first things to just pause and reflect about is to not overcook it, you know, to recognise and remember that the whole impact of this pandemic has been incredibly stressful on humankind and individuals. And as we all know, you know, with our own family and friends and people around us and our workplaces, there's a lot of stress out there. We've been seeing a lot of mental and wellness. So because of the fact that, you know, from a differential diagnosis perspective, I guess, people with long COVID, it's often those neurological nervous system debility that they present with. Firstly, you just got to pause and reflect now. Is this, I won't say simply, but is this more perhaps stress? You know, is this the stress of the whole situation? Because the placebo effect, you know, the psychosomatic influences of stress on physical symptoms and real physical manifestations of illness are huge, aren't they? We know that. So I guess just, I'm not saying rule that out, but consider that, you know, how much of it is due to the stress of COVID versus real physical post-COVID, long COVID syndrome symptoms. But the other one, I guess, to rule out is, of course, cardiovascular. If the patient has cardiovascular symptoms, which people often do, like palpitations and, you know, chest pains occasionally even, obviously we need to refer on for an ECG or a troponin test. You know, it's important to just rule out that they haven't had a cardiovascular episode there. And yet, going back to what I said earlier, you know, nervous stability, make sure that people aren't seriously depressed, you know, and you know, really try and check out what's going on for them and get a full description of their symptoms. And then, which can be anything, can't they? They can be any symptom of COVID itself. Acute COVID can be part of the long COVID picture. So, you know, really detailed case history taking is important. And of course, it's challenging given that a lot of our patients are still only wanting to see us remotely. They're not wanting to come into clinic. And it makes it even harder to get a real good sense of what's going on for them sometimes, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's very true, Phil. And that's part of the stress, isn't it, too? Like, we can't live normally, or feeling like you can't live normally, I guess. And that, you know, that acute stress becomes a chronic stress over time, doesn't it, for people, sort of chipping away at people.
Absolutely, yep.
The recovery time, touching on this, what is a realistic expectation for client recovery for all of our great practitioners out there listening today? We know this is very individual, depending on what else is going on for the individual. So it's a very generalised question. But what, in your opinion, is a realistic expectation for client recovery when we're looking at any post-viral recovery, including long COVID syndrome?
Yeah, again, it depends on the individual. And if they're elderly, if they're Māori or Pacifica, or they've had COVID more than once, or they had a pre-existing autoimmune condition, you know, so, or immune condition, or cardiovascular condition, or diabetes, or pre-diabetic, you know, diabetes type 3, even they're calling it now, you know, there's a bit of cognition decline already associated with being overweight or long-term diabetes. If any of those things were there, then don't expect a fast recovery. And defining recovery may be challenging as well, because, you know, pre-existing illnesses are going to be hard to redress, and there's a lot of overlap, as we know. But
you know, that notwithstanding, if it's somebody who's had a relatively mild infection, which of course is most people, and they're fairly, you know, relatively young and quite healthy in their lifestyle, et cetera, even though they've had these symptoms for, you know, as I say, 3 months or more, which is what long COVID effectively is, you should get a relatively quick response, provided the patient is resting. I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people are making. They, including a couple of friends of mine, they think they're invincible. You know, oh, I've got COVID. It's all right. It's mild. I'm going to go and lay some concrete tomorrow.
It's a hard one, isn't it, to stop? It is a hard one for all of us to
We're such workaholics. We're in such a fast-paced life. And maybe, again, the long COVID is nature telling us, hang on, guys, it ain't over yet. You know, are you really going to change your lifestyle, or are you going to carry on going like a bat out of hell? So, you know, provided people listen to those sorts of, you know, sensible, holistic lifestyle of bits of advice, continue to eat well and put in a jello and holy basil and plenty of black pepper and you know, healthy fruit and vegetables and vitamins and vitamin C and D in their diet. And you give them the right herbs, and herbs is critical, I think. You know, without the herbs, I think the recovery is a lot slower. There's no reason why they shouldn't be almost back to normal within 2 to 3 weeks, I think. But dose of herbs is quite important too. I tend to go in with quite a high dose because people do want to get back to their life and you know, normal life, and they're impatient, aren't they? And I think you need quite decent doses.
Yeah. Okay, well, that leaves everyone food for thought. And a lot of people do go in gently, or we're probably all guilty of that when you're wanting to just make sure if you're a little bit uncertain. You know, but we want results, obviously, for the client and for them to get better, and especially in something like this where they've probably already been unwell for quite a while, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So making a difference is important.
Yeah.
Is it acute? That acute relief can be so important, can't it? As important as our chronic support, right? Over long-term support is important, but that acute relief can be, you know, immeasurable in regards to quality of life.
Absolutely. So if they've got a cough, you know, they might be feeling pretty well, have you know, no issues with fatigue. But if they've got a lingering cough, for example, it's good to address it because, you know, that will help them mentally feel like they're over it, you know,
rather
than worrying about it still being there.
So, yes. Yeah. And we know as practitioners, don't we, Phil, that if you have a lingering anything or a cough, that usually that there are some, you know, areas of life or something that needs to be addressed there, stress or
yep, definitely.
Whatever it may be, but obviously something there needs a little bit more work and time.
Yeah, and just support. On that, you just made me think it's a perfect time to actually start delving into some of the long-standing issues that people have had that maybe they've just ignored or not confronted, because it's pretty stressful when you've got long COVID. You know, you've not only had the acute infection, now you've got this. And
now you're struggling just to get better, aren't you?
Yeah.
And it's taking time. Yep. No, you're so right. And I think what you touched on before about people wanting to return to normal, I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yep.
Who doesn't want to just be able to do their normal, whatever that was or whatever that feels like? For everyone, that's all a bit different, isn't it? But ultimately, we're all seeking that.
Yep. And being tired, you know, not having the energy to go to the gym or take your dog for a walk do some sports activity with your children is really not good for anyone. So
it's debilitating and within itself, isn't it? That becomes an illness. You know, like long term, it becomes, you know, really wearing down and impacts your mental health.
Yep, absolutely. Yep.
Well, just on that topic, I know you said you didn't have many case studies regarding the long COVID recovery. Could you give us some examples that people are always interested in hearing, you know, in clinic, examples of just post-viral recovery? What herbs did you use and what helped? And I know this, you've probably seen an enormous amount of that. So just anything that will help our listeners today and just, you know, some examples of post-viral recovery for in clinic.
Okay. There's one case I saw quite some time ago. She was a 34-year-old female, been seeing her for quite a while, mainly with stress-related conditions, you know, a bit of anxiety and stress going on, like there has been for a lot of people. So she was already taking a mix with things like withania and lemon balm and stuff in it. And she'd been doing pretty well, but then she developed COVID, like a lot of people, and the headaches and the brain fog really returned. And that was really quite debilitating for her. Despite having had echinacea earlier and continuing to take echinacea like 5 mL once or twice a day and drinking lemon and honey, she was just pretty washed out and needed to get back to earn money for her family. She was the main breadwinner. So I gave her a mix with Bicol Skullcap, 25%, Ngujala 30%, Ginkgo 25%, and Kawakawa 20%, because the headaches were really quite bad, and thought that might help because it can sometimes help with migraines and headaches. And I think it may help a bit with the gut microbiome, which could well be involved with long COVID as well. We just don't know. And a bit of ginger. So Baikal Skullcap 25, Ngujala 30, Ginkgo 25, Kawakawa 20, and ginger 7. So that came to about just over 500 mils, and I gave her 10 mils three times daily. So you know, she hit it pretty hard and within a week she'd really turned the corner. We reduced the dose to 10 mils twice a day for another couple of weeks, and yeah, she got over it within about 3 weeks, I think, which was really good. I also gave her Kiwi Herb Lung Care Spray, which has got all New Zealand-grown ingredients in it. It's got black currant, it's got organic elecampane and organic horseradish and a bit of ginger. Sorry, the ginger isn't New Zealand-grown. It's the only one that isn't, but I find that really good just to keep in my car and spray if I'm getting a bit hoarse. Or I think it protects the airways, that sauce, and you know, just to help her feel symptomatically a bit better, and she enjoyed using that as well. So, yeah.
And it's easy, isn't it, that beautiful spray? I know I've used it quite a lot of times with different people. It's just another additional little support that you can use, you know, spray Absolutely. It and, yeah, yep. Nice and easy application.
We grow some wonderful herbs in this country, and it's just really what better time to be educating people about them and using them, you know, every day.
Well, just wrapping up for our last point of discussion for today. We've kind of already covered this, but just let us know if there's anything that's been left out along the way. Could the signs of post-viral recovery issues be anything else? Those classical well-known signs that we've gone through. We know that post-viral recovery can be linked in, obviously, with stress, as you were saying. Is it COVID? Is it stress? Is probably multifactorial, lots of different reasons, right? What other signs of post-viral recovery could there be that, you know, it's just good today for the practitioners to look out for that might not be top of mind?
Yeah, a huge plethora, to be honest.
Because, of course,
You know, even though they're less common than things like fatigue and headaches and general, you know, just general debility and loss of memory, you can get pretty well anything, you know, particularly upper respiratory tract conditions. Fatigue can go on and on, muscle sweats, myalgia. So you do need to rule out a whole range of other conditions, and a really good case history taking is important. I mean, even conditions, dare I say it, such as cancer might be presenting here, because with the whole secondary outcome of long-term lockdowns and COVID, a lot of people have had delayed treatment or delayed medical appointments, and they may be suffering other more serious conditions that just have yet to be diagnosed. So us medical herbalists and naturopaths have been put in the front seat here a bit more in terms of bringing out our differential diagnosis skills, partly also because GPs, as we all know, are hugely overloaded at the moment. It's very important. So almost anything, but particularly cardiovascular, as I said earlier, if there's any cardiac symptoms, be very careful, refer on. If there's serious mental unwellness going on, also refer on to counselling or a GP or a psychologist at the very least. And just be aware that, you know, anxiety can be really quite debilitating for a lot of people with this condition, as can lack of fatigue. And diabetes is huge as well, isn't it? So, you know, people, due to their sedentary time during lockdowns and having had COVID, particularly males, as I said before, and this is news to me, they're more likely to develop type 2 diabetes. So just look out for some of the signs there, like, you know, frequent urination and all the rest of it.
And we know secondary from something like diabetes, like secondary development of Alzheimer's or cognitive disease has been linked, isn't it, to diabetes?
Yes, absolutely. Yep, increasingly that's becoming a real... another scare for human science around human
something
medicine.
Else for us to figure out.
yep. Yeah. And use herbs for, because what better treatments or preventatives, at least, in this situation?
Exactly. Well, that's the gift in it, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
And I think if we were to take anything from today's discussion, and I'm sure we would definitely take more than one thing away, thank you for all those amazing points, Phil, is that something like this gives us a chance to reset, right? Hit the reset button. Find the things that work for you or don't work for you. You know, reassess your life and what is and isn't working for you. Those things are never easy, of course, to address, but the growth that comes from that can be enormous, right?
Absolutely. So, yep.
In the end, it's a healthy thing for all us to do at some time or another.
Yep. There is always a good thing around illness and time for reflection, but the really good thing is we have a plethora of herbs at our disposal here, because long COVID doesn't just fit into a box.
No.
and it's hugely diverse, and we're going to learn more and more about it, and it is going to continue, I think, to have a huge impact on human healthcare in the next few years.
Oh, thank you for today's discussion. You've really filled us in, I think, with a few gaps. And for all of those, you know, lovely practitioners out there, I know that they'll be seeing so much of this right in clinic. It will be very predominant for, and if it's not, as you say, post-viral recovery, it's definitely stress recovery, isn't it?
Yep.
So absolutely. Today's discussion can come in handy, I'm sure, in more ways than one. So thanks, everyone, for today's podcast, listening and being with us. And join us for our next upcoming topic, which is not far away.
Thank you.
Thank you.